Foamy Head, the Once in a Blue Moon show. And this is a Mike Bond authorized special edition.
Here, here.
Of a, I don't guess you call it a special beer because, hell, it's everywhere. But yeah. It's a good for a macro brewed, even though they're trying to keep their own identity, but everybody knows their Coors Blue Moon.
It's a 40 ounce.
So it's a Blue Moon 40 that's old.
Yeah. Old Grand Cru.
You know what Grand Cru means? Old?
Does it mean old?
No,
I thought
doesn't
it meant
mean
big.
No.
Does it mean big?
What is it, Rick? Grand Cru?
It's like Grape Party or the best.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we've got here, Mike, tell us what we got.
We got a Blue Moon Grand Cru Limited Edition Belgian White, Belgian Style Wheat Ale.
Okay.
2009.
Okay. And somebody got a hair up their ass at Blue Moon, which it says Blue Moon Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Sure does.
Now, they were not originally out of Golden, right?
Yeah, they used to brew it in Memphis.
I know. Okay. we had a Coors deal, but
right.
Blue Moon Brewing, not Coors, but Blue right. Moon was its own independent little brewery, right?
But that's got to be a Coors deal, isn't it?
It is now, but they weren't. Yeah. This is Coors Bottom.
No, I think it's always been kind of like a Coors pilot brewery.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were brewing out of Memphis
out of
for
Memphis.
A while, and then they moved to
when they shut
somewhere
the,
in Georgia.
They shut the plant down, and then...
No, okay, I know about that, yeah. But I thought originally they were not their own entity. They've always been like a sandbox.
I'm almost
as far
positive,
as I know,
yeah.
Okay, all right. We'll fact check this and get back. Okay, so anyway.
You know, we do all this show prep, and then all of a sudden we turn the mics on and Dick starts asking questions.
I know.
I could answer the one about Grand Cru. It's a French wine term, which means growth place. More specifically, Cru is often used to indicate a specifically named growth place rather than any vineyard.
Vineyard.
Okay. So, okay, and it is, though, also, isn't it like the brewer's best or the vintner's best?
I can live with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a Grand Cru.
Yeah.
So it's not really it's not a style per se. It's like you can put that on anything. If you think, oh, this is really good, it's my Grand Cru.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you know, they normally have, 3.5-4% in alcohol in the regular one. This one boasts 8%.
8%, yeah.
So, I think it's kicked up in all areas. It's got a little more spice. You can feel it on the tongue. You can definitely taste the alcohol in it, too. It's not overpowering at all, but I like it.
Well, this is totally non-offensive to me. I don't have an orange slice in it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. You know, but it is one of the things they were, one of the press releases said something about summer and things like that. Because Blue Moon is always, I mean, that's a go-to beer in the
sure.
summer, right?
And a chick. Kind of a chick beer.
It is. It's a gateway beer. Yeah. It's a chick beer, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Nothing
Rick?
Wrong with that.
Yeah.
We
Rick?
Like that sort
yeah.
of stuff.
What are you getting out of it, Rick?
Well, it's a very nice Belgian wit. I was going to kind of continue on the wiki page. It says the terms Premier Cru and Grand Cru are often translated into English as first growth and great growth. So Grand Cru is great growth.
Great growth. Okay.
Great growth. Yeah. It's good. It didn't have a lot of head when I poured it. It didn't have... too much carbonation. It's kind of cloudy, as you would expect.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe off orange color. A really nice Belgian wit nose to it. Kind of fruity, and it's got the esters, the bananas and cloves that you're not so much bananas, but more cloves.
Yeah, that's the spice notes are definitely more pronounced in this than in your regular Blue Moon. It's a good beer. Now, the Rate Beer and Beer Advocate, they kind of pan it a little bit, but I think there might be a little bit of bias.
Well, anti-Coors propaganda going
could
on.
Could be. I don't know.
Might
Chris,
be.
what do you think?
Yeah, it's if you have it in a Blue Moon, I would say it's a... Well, probably not the first beer I would go to.
Okay.
But, I would say any beer you had to put an orange slice in there is probably not a very good beer in the first place.
Well, true. Definitely
now,
true.
I don't know. Is that more preference versus I got to? I mean, why do you put an orange in it?
Because the bartender does it.
They do that. Yeah, they just serve it that way.
I just take it out. Right? Every time I just take it out.
I tell them, quit killing them damn oranges.
You say, one blue moon, hold the orange,
yeah,
hold the fruit.
You know, we go up to Su Casa and play trivia, and they always bring those Dos Equis with a slice of lime. And I tell him every time he brings them, quit killing them damn limes.
Whoa. Sorry. I touched an electrical wire there. I'm all tingly now. Okay. So the Blue Moon then is it's definitely drinkable. And we could drink some more of it. Okay, so I got to tell you about the music that was playing as we came in and that was playing underneath us. If you didn't recognize it, that was Whammer Jammer, an instrumental by the one and only Magic Dick from Jay Giles' band. Now, there's a reason I played that.
I bet we don't have one listener that knew what that was.
Well, I don't know. It's pretty recognizable, right? I mean, they had that was out there for a long, long time.
I know who it was.
You knew who it was as soon as I started playing.
Yeah.
So this is kind of the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon,
mm-hmm.
the game where you can take any movie and find mm-hmm. Kevin Bacon within 6 steps, right? Uh-huh. Okay, so this is the 6 degrees of Magic Dick, okay? So so uh-huh. there was Magic Dick, and what we're going to do is every single song has a little bit of Magic Dick in it.
Okay. That's sort of like that dick inside her. Even the preacher's wife likes a little dick inside
her. Is that one of those Founders beer?
Yeah.
Dick inside her? Mm-hmm. Okay. So just remember that, kids. Play along at home. And interesting note, Rick.
Yes.
The 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon is done because everybody thinks all those movies tie to Kevin Bacon because uh-huh. he's the easiest to link to. Mm-hmm. Analysts have done research. Kevin Bacon is not the most linked actor.
Really?
Uh-uh. You will never in a million years guess it. He's the third. So you know who the number one most linked to actor is. And this is some kind of quantitative analysis. It actually doesn't take 6 steps. It takes 2.9 steps to get from any actor to Kevin Bacon from any movie. The winner takes 2.2 steps. He's been in many more movies and is linked to many more actors. But you'd never in a million years guess him.
Well, in a million years, I'd be dead.
Rod Steiger.
Really?
Yeah. You remember that guy?
Oh, yeah.
He shows
I never would have guessed that.
He shows up. Look it up. Google it.
Well, yeah. How would you do Jackie Gleason?
I don't know, but what they did was they ran this against some kind of like, I don't know if it's like an internet movie uh-huh. database or something like that, with every actor and ran some kind of quantitative analysis. Uh-huh. So like John Wayne, okay, uh-huh. he's been in the movies, right?
Yeah.
101 is his ranking. He's ranked low because as it turns out,
did it a lot. Back then, you had kind of a cast that stayed together.
You're exactly right.
It was the same actors.
You're exactly right. That was one of them. And he only did certain types.
Yeah.
And so there weren't, you know, Kevin Bacon wouldn't show up in a John
Kevin
Wayne
Bacon
film.
Did a little bit of everything.
He's done a little bit of everything. So, and Rod Steiger's like anything for a buck, apparently. Yeah. So that's my whole. How did we get to talking about 6 degrees?
That's a good question.
Oh, six degrees of Magic,
Magic Dick.
Okay. So, okay, so good stuff. We missed you, Mike. You've been gone.
I've just been piddling and playing and kicking back and drinking a lot of beer and trying to get a new business started up and just working real hard. How about yourself?
Traveling my ass off. Rick's been braving the bunny slopes. Is that right?
You've been doing a little
skiing?
Yeah,
yeah. Actually, took some Never Evers up snowboarding and watched them flop around on the mountain for a couple of days. And then 2 weeks ago, I was at Vail with the Big Beers, Belgians, and Barley Wines Festival.
God.
And the Sunday of that weekend, I went skiing at Vail. That's what a huge mountain.
Man.
It was amazing. So that was a good weekend in my book.
Now, do you ski much normally?
As much as I can. We normally take a couple of trips a year, uh-huh. but it's those where we actually pack everything and fly somewhere like Lake Tahoe or whatever. Mm-hmm. But since we've been in Colorado, we've been able to drive. So last year we were in Steamboat, and this year I've done the local mountains a few times.
Well, tell us about the Big Bear Festival, because you, as I recall from our conversations during it, you hit it hard the first night, maybe a little too hard.
Yeah. It's, actually, I was doing fine until some of the brew club guys said, hey, come on over. And they just had coolers and coolers of, like, verticals and the Avery Beast and – you know, that's a Grand Cru. Just a ton of beer, and 2 o'clock in the morning, that was done in.
There you go.
But it was actually good, because I was able to, you know, not get too rowdy the next day and just kind of go around and find some really tasty beers and just enjoy them and savor them, you know.
So how many at the Big Beer Festival? Now, it was by no means a great American beer festival in terms of quantity. How many beers do you reckon were represented there? And they're these are all over 6%. What's from a big beer perspective, is 6 like the bottom line?
Actually, to get in, I think you have to be over 7 or 8.
Wow.
And there must have been, I'd say at least 40 breweries there. Mm. And many of them brought special beers that were brewed for the event. And what's really amazing is the brewer representation. You know, like, you turn around, Sam Calagione's on the bus with you, you know, and things like that. They're just everywhere. So they really liked coming to this thing.
Very nice.
I guess because it's at the ski resort and they can go skiing, you know, and write it off on their taxes. So.
Well, very good. Very good.
Nice.
It's a good event for a good cause. It benefits the Vail Valley Charities and you know, I think it's pretty much most of the proceeds go to that, and I really have to give it to Laura and Bill Lodge, who put this thing on every year. I mean, for two people who are volunteers to organize an event that large, yeah, my hat's off to them.
Yeah, big deal. And just probably just some incredibly drunk people.
No, actually, that's the amazing thing. I mean,
are you limited on what you can drink, or is it kind of
not at all? Not at all. As a matter of fact, one guy was starting to get a little tipsy because he was hitting up the Sam Adams Utopias.
Wow. Oh, God.
Like 5 times in a row. You know, hey, man, I just had my 5th Utopias. It's like, dude, that's like a 25% beer. You know, you really don't want to be hitting it that hard.
Now, you know, we got to do another fact check thing. Speaking of Utopia, I was told by someone that our friends at BrewDog have now produced the highest alcohol.
They have. Those rascals up in Scotland. Yeah. Have come up with a 28%, I believe.
Damn.
Man.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You can put that in your outdoor torches. And
remember when we talked to them and they were complaining about how stodgy the Scottish Brewers Guild was and how they weren't really getting great reception in Great Britain? It's like, well, you know, you guys have that whole punk
the mentality,
scene from that originated in London. So, you know, they're really capitalizing on that. As a matter of fact, they've got a couple of beers with punk on them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Very cool.
Well, what did it cost to get in the big beer deal?
I believe tickets were about $40, $35 to $40. And they were also selling reserved seats for the session. So it was another beer and food pairing session with the guy from New Belgium. I'll think of his name in a minute. He's a really great speaker. And then, you know, four or five brewers come together and they present a beer that they had to pair with a very sickeningly sweet ice cream. Hmm. You know, it was like a creme brulee ice cream or something. It was just incredibly sweet.
Oh, that was like the challenge?
Yeah, like, here's this ice cream. Off about it, but you know, it was interesting listening to them why they were choosing the specific beer they had. I actually asked them the question. Well, okay, so you guys had to pick something out of your repertoire of beers to pair with this ice cream. If you were to design a beer to go with this ice cream, how would you do it differently? And the guy from New Belgium just said I wouldn't brew it, or I wouldn't do it if I had a choice, you know.
Yeah, really? What kind of a dumbass? You know what that reminds me of? This show on Food Network. Phil probably should weigh in on this. It's called Chopped.
Yeah.
You got all these chefs, and they said, here's your basket of stuff.
Uh-huh.
Make things out of the stuff.
Yeah.
And he said, okay, open it up. Let's see what we got. A pineapple, gorgonzola cheese, and cat turds. I mean, it's like they just pull some really foul shit and stick it in there. So here, make something out of this. Uh-huh. It is like
that's the whole thing with Iron Chef, isn't it?
No, Iron Chef has one ingredient.
Yeah.
This is like they just like pick stuff and say, let's screw with them. I mean, they're always coming up.
I think
they
take a blind man and let him walk through a grocery store and just put stuff
just
in
knocks
the
them out. This feels interesting.
Uh-huh.
Because they're always coming with some kind of weird Asian root vegetable marinated in sweat or something. And it's just like, I mean, they come stuff, and half the time the chefs are going, I have no idea what this is.
Yeah.
And so, like, they'll have to taste it and figure out what to do with it. So, So that reminds me, though. It's like, come on, man. You know, throw some nasty ice cream out there. Well, in the first place, who the hell's going to be drinking beer and eating ice cream at the same time?
Beer and ice cream are not two items that normally go together.
You got to be a case and a half of Bud Light in a bag before you start thinking about ice cream.
But the only beer I can think that might go really well with an ice cream would be that Young's Double Chocolate Stout and vanilla ice cream.
I completely agree. Yeah. But other than that, and maybe some of these cherries and raspberries beers.
Maybe.
But short of that, who the hell cares, man?
Or even this breakfast stuff with chocolate.
That might work.
That's like, okay, here's a challenge for you. Here's a steak. What beer would you pair with it?
Any of them.
All right.
So Peter Bucher was the guy that I was trying to remember.
Bucher.
He's the guy I was trying to remember. He's the head brewer at New Belgium.
Very good.
You sure that's not Bucket?
No.
No, it's B-O-U-C-K-A-E-R-T. Bucher. Okay.
That's all right. That's how they pronounce it in Wisconsin.
You know that show on public television, the lady's name is Bucket, but she always says her name is Bouquet.
No.
But everybody goes Bucket.
I don't.
And she hates being called Bucket.
I don't watch public television.
It's an old English show.
Oh.
Like Are You Being Served?
No.
You've never seen that one?
Oh, that one, yes.
Yeah, it's very similar to it.
Okay.
Usually it'll come on right after it or before it. Well, I can't think of the name.
I got cable, Mike. I don't watch public TV.
It's on cable. What is the name of that show?
You still got those rabbit ears on the top of your TV with the foil wrapped around it to enhance the video quality.
I get my wife up in the corner. She raises one arm, one leg. Yeah. Don't move. It's right there. You got it. Don't move. Damn it, you move.
So in one of my recent travels, I was in the Shadow of the Beast in St. Louis.
Mm.
And, you know, there isn't hardly a ship for good beer in St. Louis, except for Schlafly.
Yeah.
But.
Well, now, where is Boulevard?
Across the river.
Across the river, Kansas City.
In Kansas City, yeah. Okay. So, but you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Close enough to count. Mm-hmm. So, a friend of mine who lives there said, you got to go. And he knew I liked a good beer. And he said, you got to go with me. And bear in mind, we're working. I'm there working. He's working. And he said, we got to go.
Uh-huh.
We have to go. And so we found a way to sneak out and run down to a brew pub.
Ooh,
and I'm
going
to try and get them on. I talked to them, and we're going to do a little exchange of beers on another show, but I did want to talk about them. They're called the Six Row Brewery. I said, oh, okay, named after malt.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend says, oh, there's malt named that?
Really?
Well, what the hell do you think? Well, he says, well, because there's six of them.
Uh-huh.
So there's six is like the numbers for some reason.
Six what?
Six people. And each one of them does something different. But they all came together and they all said, well, we should do a brewery.
Hmm.
So like one of them was a brewmaster and had experience in brewing wines and beers. And another was an engineer. And so he wanted to put the brew system together.
Uh-huh.
And another was a marketing person who came out and then et cetera.
Uh-huh.
So the thing, the place was open, had been open like 30 days. And I walk in, and Rick, you'd have loved this. The entire bar was copper.
To match
the steam kettles. Jacketed kettles. And I was talking to him. I said, man, Rick needs to be here because the engineering on it and the kettles, and they have a seven.
So they actually use those kettles. A lot of times you see a brass kettle in there. And
yeah.
They don't use them. The
now, this is,
are in the back.
This is the real thing.
Uh-huh.
It's a seven-barrel system. So it's not very big, you know, but hell, it gets by. So,
you know, that's about as much beer as I would ever want to brew.
Yeah, and so they had just gotten underway, right? And so I'm looking up there, and they had this and that, pretty much the standard offering, and they had one called the Whale, which was basically, you know, they didn't want to say this. They're like, well, actually, it's a bunch of leftover shit. And they said, well, let's make something out of it. 10 different malts, a lot of wheat. And it was kind of towards an IPA. So it was really good. And it had like six different yeast. So they set the sampler down.
They call it the Whale?
The Whale. So they set the sampler down, and he gave us like a couple extra samples. Everything that was on the menu. And so we start going around. And you know, in a brew pub, depending on where you go, sometimes the quality is a little less than spectacular because they're just pumping it out. Right. I got to feed the masses, whatever. Okay, that's one. Or, well, that one's okay, that one's okay. Oh, this is shit, right? So what? The reason I'm talking about them is every single beer was just great. True to style, no funky aftertaste, or, you know, like some of them. And no two used the same kind of, like, you know, some of them, oh, well, we use the same yeast for everything. Very crafted. Very well
What's
done.
What's this guy's background? Where's he from?
I talked to him. He was a winemaker first, so he was really into the art of it, and he switched over to beer, and so it's pretty interesting. We'll have him on the show because what we talked about doing was picking some beers that we like, and maybe even getting some from like our friend Chuck at Ghost River, and let's do an exchange and let him rate or, you know, talk about our beers, and we'll bring his.
We'll drive by Chuck's on the way up there.
Well, yeah.
And we'll get a couple growlers, and we'll take it up there with us. And
I was just going to use the mail. You want to make a road trip
now. And we'll record while we're there.
Well, we could.
How about that?
We could. That sounds like a plan. St. Louis, where they keep it cold right now.
Hey, it's only about 5 hours up there, right?
That's true.
Not even.
Road trip.
All right. Well, let's take a break because we got more beer and more stuff. And so here's because Mike asked for it, a little more Magic Beer.
dick, do you?
And Rick said,
what the hell's a magic dick?
What's a magic dick?
Yeah, what are you guys up to over there?
Well, we said that earlier, though. Maybe we didn't say it often
enough. I know. I wasn't listening.
He's, yeah,
he was in the bathroom.
He plays lead harmonica for the Jay Giles Band.
Mm-hmm.
And so Whammer Jammer was classic Jay Giles instrumental. And Jay Giles is the lead guitarist, not the singer. He didn't sing at all. So it's kind of interesting that the band was founded and they didn't have a singer.
Uh-huh.
They just played.
Who's who does singing?
Peter Wolf. Who was disc jockey.
Okay.
And they recruited him.
I remember seeing them on MTV.
Yeah, early.
They were back when MTV really got cranking.
At the beginning. Yes, they were. Because so we just played Wait, which is a blues bass. And a lot of stuff on the Jay Giles first album, mm-hmm. Jay Giles, was either Motown or blues.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Wait, the song we just played, you could hear Jay Giles, Jay Giles playing the guitar, but Magic Dick on the harmonica, and Peter Wolf singing. So that's pretty good blues bass, got
good
that
stuff.
Blues line going. 1970.
Damn.
40 years
making me feel
ago.
Old. You remember that?
It's like, oh, I was even,
you were a rocker back then, weren't you?
I was a kid. I was a little kid. Back then, I was just a wee baby. I was thinking, damn, that's a long time ago when dinosaurs roamed the earth.
Had you had a beer yet?
No, I had not. I was not even old enough to consider stealing one of Daddy's beers. That's how little I was.
It's 70 and it's 2009. Boy,
no, it's 2010.
2010.
We had that whole New Year's Eve thing.
Man, I missed that part.
I know, it's 2010.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago, man.
That's how old you are?
I can't get over it.
Mm. I know. It's just depressing. And we weren't going to talk about depressing things. I apologize.
Yeah, I start thinking about old girlfriends and, you know.
And all the stuff you can't do and won't be able to do. No more.
No
ever
more.
Again.
No more trick. Never mind.
All right. So that has. I have absolutely no clever segue to our next beer. Which is, Rick got this from one of our favorites, longtime favorite of show, brewer, New Glarus, who got just jacked for distribution, but yet everybody who likes a good beer somehow manages to get
their hands.
I don't
think you can buy that around here, right?
No, hell no. Yeah. Wisconsin, right? Isn't that it, Rick?
That's the only place you can buy it.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. That's the mark of a good beer. They said, screw distribution. You know?
Yeah.
Well, if they don't have cheese curds, we ain't sending beer out. So that's how they roll. So, but like I'm saying, though, everybody gets their hands on this. You know, anybody who knows a good beer knows New Glarus. So they got this, screw it, build it, brew it, and they will
they
come.
They will come.
There you go.
And buy more cheese curds.
That's right. Hey, man, there ain't nothing better than cheese curds and beer.
I'm laughing because you guys are right on the mark, man.
Yeah.
They go into that state, and the first thing they have is like
cheese curd,
old cheese factories. And
I know. I went there, and it's like, what is a cheese curd?
Yeah.
And they got bags. It's all by the bags.
Everywhere, man.
It's like pork rinds, except it's cheese.
It's been a while since you've been up there. You used to go up there and see some doctors, right?
Yes. Yep. Actually, they have, for some reason, there's just an ass load of triathletes and Ironman participants out of Wisconsin.
Really?
Yeah, they only like 4 days of summer.
Uh-huh.
So
yeah.
I don't know what it is, but it's like they get out in the snow and they're just, you know, I guess you got to be like a hardier stock just to survive.
Hell yeah, you do.
And
that,
I think
that weather.
Been eating all them cheese curds, that'll kill most people.
Well, yeah. Dick doesn't go up there anymore because he's tired of coming back all stopped up.
That's right. That's right. I can only do that every couple of years. Colin can't take it.
Well, you guys know I always try to get up there for the great taste of the Midwest. And,
yep.
Don't want to promote it too much because they're very limited tickets and it's hard to get. So if you're not already in the know, then I really don't want to clue you into it. But that's a great festival.
And by the way, you're welcome for those extra tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Well, I gave you a little tip.
Yeah, you did.
So
told me to plant my corn early next year. Thanks, man.
Yeah. The new Glarus. This is, it's called the R&D. Hell, I done lost the name of it. What's it called, Rick? The R&D Golden Ale. It's R&D something. So I'm looking at this, and it's just one ugly-ass label.
Yeah, there's not nothing attractive about it at all.
And see that, Rick, you see it's got like this little right in the center to the right, a circle with what looks like a bunch of squiggles.
Well, that's calligraphy. It's some kind of DNR, probably.
That would be the R&D.
Yeah.
R&D, there it is, gotcha.
Right there. Yeah. But it's just,
what is R&D? Is that?
What does R&D stand for? Research and development.
Yeah.
That's usually what it stands for, yeah.
You would think.
Yeah. So he was practicing when he made this one, huh?
Yeah. And so this is actually keeping with the Belgian style. And they've got like this deal, and it's kind of handwritten. This was brewed in March 23rd, 09 and bottled in June 18th.
Can anybody read the brewmaster's notes? My eyes aren't that good.
No, it said something about swept the floor. And no, no, Marissa, today was a good day. We made a beer. No, it's a listing of it. It is pretty light and difficult to read. It does say Maris Otter Malt. But anyway, okay.
What's that? No, I'm dumb.
Urinary tract? No.
May cause urination.
Yeah, may cause massive urination.
Okay, so
will the beer not stop you up like cheese curds.
Hallucinations and blackouts.
That's all right. Painful rectal itch. But so the R&D.
If you suffer a 4-hour erection, consult your doctor.
Enjoy it. How can that possibly be termed suffering?
And my favorite, may cause anal leakage.
Which is good if you're plugged up with some cheese curds. That's right. It's like that little Mexican speedball there.
All right, so we know Mike already does not like sour beers, and this has a little bit it's a Belgian golden ale with Brettanomyces. Yeah. And Mike, what do you think?
I like it.
Yeah, he was sniping at it a little bit at first, but
I'm knocking the bottom out of it.
He's drinking it all down.
Well, I think when we opened it, it said it smelled like poop.
Yeah, it really did. It's got a real weird head to it. Or no?
All right. Well, that's the Brettanomyces character, and that's a very classic signature of the beer. So
the Brett thing. And when I had my first little taste of it, I'm still not quite getting the twang usually associated with the lactic acid. I'm not getting it. I know it's in there. But I think I don't know if these are like some.
Well, maybe there's no lactobacillus. It could just be a pure Brett.
Okay. All right.
Which is just going to dry it out.
Okay.
And it is a dry beer.
Okay. And see, I'm always grouping the two together. So it is definitely a dry beer. And for a golden ale, which are usually pretty light and pretty nondescript, can be, or if it's Belgian style, which. One of the websites classified this as a Belgian.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, that's why we're drinking it, because it kind of fit in with the Blue Crew. Moon.
Yeah.
Grand
Crew. Yeah.
You know, I like this being as dry as it is, because it finishes really, really quick.
It does.
It doesn't linger. It's not a face puncher with that sour. And I guess that's why I like this one.
Now,
okay. My first impression was metallic. I was getting a real strong metallic signature. And that could be because, it was overly effervescent. It was kind of coming out of the bottle. So I was had to, suck it out of the bottle. And I could have been getting some metallic taste off the cap or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that seems to have gone away. I'm not getting metallic right now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You had said earlier, and I think Mike said the same, a 10.
Yeah, I think it's that bitterness and the dryness. I think was giving me that 10. Well, I'm still getting a little bit of it, but not as pronounced.
Now, it's warmed up a little. Yeah. And this is not one that you drink too warm, but you think that might have made a little difference?
Don't know.
Well, my finish, I'm getting a little bit of toastiness at the end. I'm not getting – I didn't get the metal. And what I did was I had the first pour out of the bottle, and then y'all started talking about 10, and then I got a pour – from about inch and a half left in the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little difference between the top pour and the bottom. Of course, that's where, the, you know, I don't know how much headspace was in there, if there's any kind of oxidation or anything. I mean, it hadn't been in the bottle that long, right? Yeah. But it is carbonated, naturally carbonated, and still, according to them, still fermenting as it's sealed up. So who knows? There might have been a little something floating around the top.
And I'm still getting metallic out of it. I just got it. I poured a little bit more and tasted it and still getting metallic.
Yeah.
So it's not great.
Okay. And the thing is, the rate beers and beer advocates rate this much higher than the Blue Moon.
Huh. No, I'd have the Blue Moon over this any day.
Is that actually the consensus here?
Well, Blue Moon is a lot creamier in a tasting versus this one. It's like you say, drier and
has a little more bite.
Has a little taste in it.
You're not overly wild about it.
I would rather have this one versus the Blue Moon.
Really?
You would? Okay, yeah, so you're favoring this. You like the drier.
I think so.
Okay.
See, this one's got that, it's in the back of my mouth, and it's just kind of, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think this is one of those beers that can hit different people a different way. Because you're saying back of the mouth, I'm getting like right up front. I got nothing in the back. And I got that kind of toastiness. Yeah.
I'm getting that kind of grit your teeth type tightness.
I don't
like
have
a real
that at
dry
all.
Champagne or something.
I know what you're talking about. And we've had some beers like that that are just like virtually undrinkable because it's doing different on me.
But you know, I like it when I put the glass up to my nose, I get to. I get the little sour nose.
Supposed to put it to your mouth.
And then when I take that sip, I feel I taste a little bit of that sour, and it kind of melds with the nose.
Yeah,
and it's pretty good. I like it. I really do. Now, which one would I buy? I'd probably buy the Grand Cru.
Okay, all right. So we got.
You did buy the Grand Cru.
Yeah, you did buy.
Yeah,
it.
I'd buy it again.
Okay. All right, so we have a little divergence of opinion, a little different taste.
I'm surprised he likes the sour beer. I really am.
But this isn't that sour.
The Blue Moon is it's creamy and after you had a couple of glasses, I would say you'd probably get tired of.
Okay, so you
it.
Think this might the Grand Cru and the Blue Moon, you get tired after some of these. Yeah. Is this more of a. This wouldn't be an everyday drinker either, but you could have more of these.
Mm-hmm. I would say, yeah.
Yeah, but you ended up like drooling in a puddle or something, right? Because what is this? Okay, it's 7%.
7%.
Yeah,
7%. That's actually less than the Grand Cru.
That's not too bad.
1% less than the Grand Cru.
And this has got 38 IBUs, so it's virtually non-existent.
Yeah. Not real bitter.
No, I mean, it's you know, this is one, glad I got to try it, but...
Yeah.
From all of the new Glarus beers I've had, to me, this is one of their lower ends.
Mm-hmm.
And not to spit on them or anything, because it's, you know,
well, no, it's
fine.
R&D.
It is an R&D, and that's the whole point.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's interesting, though, that everybody's got different notes on it.
Think about this. We're down here in little old Memphis, Tennessee, and we're able to drink one of these things, thanks to... Brother Rick
that went
to Wisconsin,
shipped
where the land of cheese curds and hairy women.
That's right. Hairy women.
You know they stopped shaving in September until
got to stay warm, baby.
Shit, until July.
Yeah, really, they get that winter.
They
cut.
Molt in January, February,
and they stuff their pillows with it.
I'm gonna get killed if any of my friends from Wisconsin are listening.
We're kidding, right? Did we have to put our... we didn't say, not that there's anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with hairy women.
But isn't it down here we sleep with our relatives, but not for warmth, right?
What?
That's what they think. That's what they think.
Oh,
Wisconsin.
Okay. Yeah, that's right.
That's what we hear all the time.
That's
you know,
right.
You're from the South. You sleep with your sister.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
I ain't got a sister. Monica, come over here.
Have you lapsed into your Bill Clinton?
Yeah, I think he's channeling.
That was pretty good.
I'm channeling, man.
Sounded
he's
just
been,
like
he's it. Been possessed by the spirit there.
We're going to have to work on that. Okay.
All right. What are we drinking next?
Well, we've got to...
Yeah, seriously, I don't want to even drink more of those.
Yeah, okay. All right, so we're done. We're done with that.
We'll do a third beer or not.
I'll tell you what, because we've got a debate on our, what is our third beer. So while we're out there, oh, and Rick corrected me, mm-hmm. or actually he was right, and then he expounded on it. Blue Moon was from Coors mm-hmm. in the Sandlot.
The Sandlot Brewery at Coors Field.
Yeah. Right there in your backyard.
Yeah.
Okay. And Mike's got his beer bomb.
Give us a little history.
Have we gone there, Dick?
Yeah, we did.
Rather? Okay, we went to the Sandlot?
Yeah.
Give us a little history on the Sandlot.
Coors Microbrewery at Coors Field.
Yeah, not a lot of people
know
that.
That's the history.
Not a lot of people know that that's at the ballpark.
But yeah, and that's kind of where they are allowed to brew or you know branch out, brew whatever they want. Of course, if you're brewing Coors, your people have a brand recognition, and Joe Sixpack wants that damn beer to taste exactly the same every freaking time he drinks it. So there's no latitude for experimentation or screwing up, even you know. So the Sandlot's where their brewers get to do the pilot brews and the really good smoke beers. Oh God, they got a good smoke beer. And Blue Moon, you know, they kicked off the Blue Moon line. So, you know, it's more fun there.
Well, you got to give them credit for some of the things that come out of Coors like this versus some of the other places where they're, you know, they're not going down that that path.
Yeah, I tell you, if you drive through Golden, Colorado, you really don't see any of that Rocky Mountain water and any of that pretty stuff that they show in the commercials. You know,
they probably film those in St. Louis.
Yeah, they do. They do. They go to St. Louis to get the Rocky Mountain scenes. And
you know, at Coors, my brother told me that when they brewed, I think it was Coors Light, or no, maybe it was the Banquet beer. I can't remember. It was one or the other. But they would ship it in by rail car in concentrate, and they would add Memphis water to it.
Well, that's always a good idea.
Yeah. No kidding.
That's always a good idea. Memphis water is a good water.
Got good water.
That's right.
But and that is come in and concentrate.
Yeah. Critical ingredient in beer is water.
Water.
Yeah.
And then when they were trying to shut the plant down, they couldn't find a suitable spot to make Zima. They couldn't get it to taste like it did with the Memphis water. Memphis was the only place they brewed Zima.
Mm-hmm.
And
whatever happened with that Zima?
It's gone because they lost the magic touch with the Memphis water. It killed it.
There is no more Zima?
Well, it's there, but nobody drinks it anymore.
Well, I know we've had this conversation a lot. That brewery in Memphis is kind of cursed, but that's largely due to the unions that have a never-ending contract there, right?
Yeah, but now they're all gone. It's a minority-owned business. She's done a really good job. She turned around. She was originally with Coors.
Right.
And I know they're doing contract brewing for anything.
Just a little bit.
And they do some sodas, and they do this and that and the other. We really need to catch back up with them and see what they're up to.
She's doing a lot of the Arizona tea.
Yeah, that's it, Arizona tea.
And some
tea.
Other non-alcoholic beverages. Right. They aren't brewing any alcohol there at all right
None.
Now.
None. Okay.
But I think the contract is like up maybe last year or this year, so who knows what's going to happen now. Other thing, though. Whatever happened to the guy that was doing the copper flask beer?
Don't know.
Did you read that article in the paper on him?
You talking about when it came out? Yeah. Naked Lion?
Right.
Yeah, no clue. I don't know whether it lived. Okay, so we got lots of stuff we got to look up and verify and fact check while we decide on which beer we're going to drink next. So here's round three, getting further away from Magic Dick. Yep, his influence is still there.
Teasing me. Oh, I want you to tell me what's the reason you keep on teasing me. Well, I can't understand you, baby, I just can't hide and see. Let your hair down, woman, let's be having at your ball. Oh, I want your hair down, woman, let's be having at your ball. You know, if we don't get together, mama, we can't have no fun at all.
Okay, so let me tell you about the song I just played. That was not Magic Dick. Or was it? It was Buddy Guy.
It was Kevin Bacon.
Joined by Kevin Bacon.
Yeah.
It was Buddy Guy, who mm-hmm. we really liked,
yeah.
and Junior Wells. And that was from their 1972 album, Buddy Guy and Junior Wells Play the Blues. Now, the interesting thing about this is in 1970, they started on this album. And they got everybody who's anybody in blues and rock mm-hmm. come play with us. Because, by God, it was Buddy Guy.
Mm-hmm.
So the lead guitarist on that particular track was Eric Clapton.
Mm.
And keyboards by Dr. John. And this and that one dropped by. But then scheduling and drugs and so forth conflicted, and Eric Clapton dropped out, and some of the other guys dropped out.
Mm-hmm.
They were replaced by Jay Giles and Magic Dick.
Uh-huh.
And that's how we get a little bit of Magic Dick into that.
Cool.
And they were the ones who finished out the album in 1972. And they remember their first album was released in 1970, so only uh-huh. 2 years later, they're being asked to play with Buddy Guy and Junior Wells, so they're doing something right. So there you go. Cool. We're getting further and further away.
But I like Magic Dick.
I know. Who doesn't?
Yep.
We've known that about you, actually.
And the one more blues note, the T-Bone Shuffle that we're listening to, mm-hmm. was named for T-Bone Walker.
Oh.
And T-Bone Walker was a earlier blues pioneer, and that was a style called Texas Blues, which sounds not a damn thing like you would think.
It's like a big band, a swing.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly right. And it's a whole. I don't know what it just was popular in Texas during that time in the 40s. And T-Bone, who was named that because apparently his name sounds like T-Bone. It's Arlen Thibault, French.
Wait up, Thibault. Thibault plays football.
Yeah, maybe. Well, then yeah, this one. Florida. This is, his name is Thibault Walker, but it sounded like T-Bone. So he was called T-Bone.
Well, you know, out in Texas.
Or T-Bone Pickens.
Them too.
Out in Texas, you know, they got T-Bones everywhere. So they just said, let's call this son of a bitch T-Bone.
That's right. That was an episode of Seinfeld. Remember George wanted a cool nickname? He said, I'm going to be T-Bone.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, and they didn't say, no, George, you're not a T-Bone.
See, I didn't start watching Seinfeld till reruns. I didn't watch it.
Didn't start watching until the reruns of the reruns. Yeah, I hear you. I didn't miss it the first time around.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was some swing blues. So T-Bone Walker, that was like a song from 1947. And we got another one coming up that's even older than that. That Rick calls it, we got to get this song. We got to get this song. So that's coming up. No Magic Dick was involved in this.
Well, what was the year of that song?
Oh, nobody knows.
They don't know.
Nobody knows. It's one of those blues songs, many blues songs, no one knows.
Everyone's covered it. Nobody's quite sure where it came from. It's just something you have in your repertoire.
That's right. That's right. The one coming up, yeah, there's a bunch of them. So this one, the only one that we know for sure, we know it's T-Bone Walker did T-Bone Shuffle because he also did T-Bone Boogie and T-Bone Blues.
Mm-hmm.
He liked his name.
Yeah.
He named everything after T-Bone. But he also wrote another song that is a blues classic recorded by God and Everybody, Stormy Monday.
Okay.
So that's the line, you know, they call it Stormy Monday and Tuesday's just as bad. Huh. That's T-Bone Walker.
Cool.
Write that down. There will be a test later.
How did they get the steak named after him, though?
I don't know.
No, the steak was named after him.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's right.
It was T-Bone. That looks like Thibucks.
Thibodeau.
Thibucks. Well, yeah, like Thibodeau, but it's there's no bit of.
There's an N and an E in there.
Thibault. Thibaut. Hebe Thibault.
Hey, what are we drinking?
Well, nobody, just like we don't know where some of these blues songs come from, we don't really know how to pronounce the name of this beer. Rick says Carice. But it might be Cerise. It's a Cerise. And it's a Founders beer. And this is a fruit beer. Classified
cherry
as a
fermented ale.
Cherry fermented ale. And it is damn tasty.
It's 6.5% ABV, 15 IBUs. And it says they use Michigan tart cherries. No hesitation in the malt bill. Adding fresh cherries at 5 separate stages of fermentation achieves the ultimate balance between tartness and sweetness.
This is a date rape beer.
Yeah, it's like cherry soda to me.
It is. Yeah, it I is mean, really you could you could get your significant other or even an insignificant other just liquored up out of their minds drinking this. This goes down way too easy.
Kind of reminds you of the Hunch Punch, doesn't it? The PGA?
Yeah, the PGA.
That must be an inside joke because I'm not following.
Yeah, you never heard of Hunch Punch?
You never had PGA Punch?
Oh, that's the stuff they have at frat parties, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody brings something and pours it in.
Pours it in a trash can, you know. And
gotcha.
We called it Hunch Punch years ago.
Yeah, I wasn't in a frat at college.
Me neither.
No, this was just high school, man.
Okay. Well, they're either for me. Gosh. I've lived a sheltered life, I guess.
Mike wouldn't join any fraternity that would have him.
That's right.
So this is the Cerise or Carice is Founders Brewing, which we got a bunch of Founders, but we're not doing them yet. This is the first sip I had, it was definitely a tart. That was the best word to describe
it. It's just a little tartar. It's grabbed, got a little stuff off the bottom.
It like grabbed my jaws. I mean, I felt it grab them.
Oh, did you hear that? That's, makes me want to go.
Okay. that's the sound of one Cerise pouring. It's pretty good.
Hey, if a Cerise pours in the woods, would anybody hear it?
And would it taste like cherries?
maybe pine if it's in a pine forest.
That's good stuff. I'm really liking this beer. Man, this is like dessert.
What I'm liking about what you guys just did, it kind of reminds me of a beer haiku to do.
Well, okay.
I'll bring it on.
All right, beer haiku. This is an oldie. It's from August 20th, 2008. And, of course, these are always from the Captain Hops website, beerhaikudaily.com. Encourage you to go visit, and if he has any links, click on them and give him lots of business. But cue the music. Sun and Moon, not just any beer. Blue Moon with an orange slice tastes like summer. Beer haiku. Class. Culture.
Very good. Very good. So we pretty much gone round and round about this, but Chris is over here bad-mouthing the chair. What were you just saying?
He said it's hard to drink.
Really?
I would say it's probably after as the evening progresses, I'm sure it'll go down smoother and smoother.
This, to me, just like any other beer. You don't need a lot, but like a dessert beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No kidding. I mean, if I was at, while I was in St. Louis, I had this 9-course dinner.
Oh, wow.
They were not big courses, just a lot.
Uh-huh.
And the very last course was a cheese and some other little something that was sweet. So it's like savory and sweet.
Mm-hmm.
This would be a good beer to pair with it.
Mm-hmm.
It would fit in. Because like a fruit and cheese, and I think of some little chocolate thing.
Uh-huh.
This is a very tasty.
That would go good with a cheesecake. Just a plain cheesecake, you think?
Oh, yeah, I bet that would be. This is definitely a dessert. But like you said, it's a little much.
For a dessert beer would probably be perfect for that.
I don't think you'd want to have two of them or three of them. But it's definitely a date rape beer.
It's kind of like that cherry beer you have. What's that? The cherry?
The New Glarus?
No, the cherry.
Cherry chocolate?
Chocolate. I mean, that one is good, but two's a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Okay. Rick, you're loving on it some, right?
No, I'm actually indifferent to this one.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay. Doesn't flip your switch, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of sad when the Blue Moon Grand Cru is the best beer of the evening.
Okay, so this has definitely been
a weird show.
A session of opinions here.
Yes, it has.
Okay, so and Mike, where were you just like ambivalent too about it?
Yeah, it doesn't flip my switch at all. No, I'm Grand Cru all the way.
Good have one, no more.
I'm Grand Cru all the way.
So the Grand Cru.
I do like the tartness, though. The tartness is kind of neat, that little bite. It gives you, after you kind of swallow, you get that little hit.
Right. But the tartness in here was not from a yeast. It was from
the cherry puree.
A buttload of cherries.
Yeah.
Okay.
But other than that, I mean, that's the only thing I like about this.
I know. I don't want any more. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. Five editions of cherries over, it's probably a real expensive beer to brew, so I got to give them credit for that, you know?
Yeah. Very, very, very nice little dessert beer, but. Not going to do it. Okay, so we've got our ending song, which Rick picked up. He found this one day, not on company time.
When he was in the shower.
No, he was late at night, skulking around on YouTube.
Uh-huh.
Actually, no. I was watching Palladia on, I forget what channel it is on Comcast, but it's way up there in the 600s. And that's the high definition music channel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh.
You guys ever watch it?
No, I didn't know it was there.
Ah, okay. Well, yeah, they've had.
I'm afraid to go over channel 60.
No, I never get over 400.
Anyway, there was a Jeff Beck concert. You know, it was really late at night. I actually fell asleep in my chair, and I woke up, and there's this tall drink of water singing a song, and it was just a fantastic blues song. And Jeff Beck and Tal Wilkinson, I think that's his bassist, and Imogen Heap was the singer. And, just a great song. And it's a blues classic. The more I look into it, there's a long history to the song. So.
Yeah. One of the local artists, R.L. Burnside, that was kind of his signature song around here, Rollin' and Tumblin'.
Mm-hmm.
The North Mississippi All-Stars did their take. And everybody, like you said, everybody and their brother – has done their version. And isn't there a rule about it?
Right. Yeah, you have to get Rollin' and Tumblin' in as the first. No, Rollin' and Tumblin's Slept the Whole Night Long.
It's like the verse. You have to get the first verse in, and then after that, it's like freeform.
No. Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, and so you got variations of all these. And this is probably the most jacked up, rocked out, wah-wah, pedal, everything version of it we've ever.
It's got that Jeff Beck guitar in it.
It's a Jeff Beck take on it, and it's not R.L. Burnside. I'll tell you what, here.
It's not your father's R.L. Burnside.
Just for comparison purposes, okay? Here's a little R.L. Burnside.
Mm-hmm. In a rolling and tumble, I cried the whole night
So that was R.L. Burnside, and we've heard R.L. Burnside before. His Hill Country Blues is like one guy, guitar, stamping his feet. And a
little harmonica.
Yeah. Good old Hill Country Blues. So that's your baseline for a comparison. and it's like, God, this is like 1,000 times removed, but exactly the same.
Kind of like R.L. Right? Burnside on acid.
Yeah, or crack and speed and Cerise beer and...
There you go. Yeah.
But it's got the two first lines. I rolled and I tumbled and cried the whole night long.
And this Imogen Heap chick is, she does a good...
She's a tall drink of water.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen her.
She's good looking.
It's on YouTube.
I'll check it out.
I guess you search for Jeff Beck and Imogen Heap and Rolling and Tumbling.
Yeah.
Okay, so enough talking about it. We're going to play the damn thing. Okay?
Cool.
All right, so good beers, different opinions about different things. Overall consensus, the Grand Cru from Blue Moon, worth going and trying a bottle.
Definitely.
Yeah, overall consensus, keep your money in your pocket, actually, for most of these beers.
Hey, we didn't talk about how you got it, though.
Agree.
Rick,
what?
How did you buy your beer?
What do you mean? Hard-earned cash. I don't know what you mean.
Hard-earned cash. My ass.
No, you did not. It was not hard-earned cash. How did you pay for your Grand Cru?
Oh! I won the lottery, man.
That's right.
This is something. Cash up a lot of tickets, and instead of not a winner, which they always say, and kind of hurts my feelings a lot. You know, this time I was a winner instead of being not a winner.
How much of a winner? All $28 worth?
$28.
Cool.
And so you...
It paid for my beer.
So that is so we've realized that, you know, it's like free beer. Is there anything better than free beer?
No.
Well, yeah.
Well, you know, I just
beer saw, and money.
Yeah.
I just saw the Denzel Washington Book of Eli movie, which is a good movie. I highly recommend it. So I think that God meant for me to have this beer.
Okay, that was an apocalyptic sign.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, very nice.
Eli had his mission in life. I have mine.
So Blue Moon has been kind to you.
Go tell Father What's-His-Name out there in Denver that, you know, your little story there and see what he says.
Father Tim would be our...
Father Tim's, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Go tell Father Tim your little story and see what he says.
Sure.
Yeah.
What God's will is for me?
I'm going to say, son, you need to go to confession more often.
He would say that, I'm sure. Probably
like,
true.
I like Rick said, it usually says I'm not a winner. At least it didn't say... you're a loser.
The implication was there, not a winner. It's like, can't they change that? I mean, it's like, well, not this time, try again or something. I don't
it's
know.
It's like, less of a winner.
Loser.
Not a
we
winner.
We still like you, but you're not getting any money.
Please buy more tickets.
That's right. Thank you for your contribution.
Yeah. Yeah.
You supported the school system. Or whatever. Feel good about that.
Yeah.
But in this case, you got beer and money. So you did good.
Let's talk about more losers. Can we talk about more losers real quick?
Only if you're prepared, because your last segue died.
I read somewhere where the bank card industry made like $4 billion off of interest.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yeah.
Now, is that not Americans losing, it's being a bunch of losers?
You mean because we use credit cards to postpone paying for stuff?
$4 billion worth of interest.
I got to tell you,
man,
that sounds low.
Yeah, that sounds pretty. On what did they made for?
Just on bank card. Not home loans, car loans, all that crap.
I hear you, but that's
gotta
the highest.
It's got to be more than
the
that.
The highest percentage rate is on bank cards.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, okay, but I don't know how.
Billion with a B.
It just something.
$1 billion.
Something just set you off where you realized bank cards are screwing you.
Well, I just read it.
Did nobody tell you that?
Are you talking like these overdraft things?
No, just regular bank card.
But
interest.
Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. If you pay the minimum payment on, I forgot the amount, like a couple thousand bucks, it'll take you 42 years to pay off.
You never pay it. You basically never pay it off.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's the American way.
Yeah.
By God. You're like spitting on a flag. If you're not ass deep in debt, you're just not an American.
That's right.
Credit card people got to eat, too. And apparently they like a way better class of food.
Hey, man, they like T-bones.
That's right. They T-bone. Like T-bones.
There you go,
way
T-bone.
Way to bring it back around. All right. Okay, so as I said about 30 minutes earlier, let's wind this up and play that song. Rolling and Tumbling, Jeff Beck, Imogen Heap. Tal Wilkinson, and not a trace of Magic Dick.
Ain't the same.
I know.
Kevin Bacon?
That may be. Goes good with bacon.
Okay. Anything goes good with bacon. Isn't that right, Rick?
Time for signature sign-outs.
All right. See you next time.
Drive safe.
Come back and see us.
We'd suggest not to fear.
just won this battle.